Good morning. Julia Butterfly Hill is the epitome of a tree hugger. At the age of 25, in 1999, she spent 2 years in a redwood tree. 738 days, to be exact. Julia stayed in the tree, she says, not because she hated the loggers who wanted to cut it down, but because she loved the tree and the rest of the forest surrounding it. It turns out she was successful, and the loggers were kept away from the forest by her dwelling in one single tree. Contrary to what we might imagine or joke about Julia, she didn't simply eat a bowl of granola with almond milk one morning and then decide she had to save trees. In fact, before she lived in a tree, Julia had been on a 10-month journey, a healing journey of recovery from a car accident that she was in while being a designated driver. Her skull was penetrated by the steering wheel. She had to learn to speak and to walk again. She says, "As I recovered, I realized that my whole life had been out of balance. I had graduated high school at 16 and had been working nonstop since. I had been obsessed with my career, success, and material things. The crash woke me up to the importance of the moment and doing whatever I could to make a positive impact on the future." Julia's personal journey of healing led her to violate the status quo by living in a tree. Healing is a violation. I use the word violation in the most nonviolent sense of the word, being a Mennonite. That is, breaking a law, breaking a cultural code, crossing into territory that causes a stir, a reaction, or a shift in a community's dominant paradigm. From the scripture passage, we heard another story of violation of the status quo. There was a festival, and it was the Sabbath. But the Sabbath was also a burden on people, in that the religious could catch the unreligious in their wrongdoing. Jesus violated the norm. He did an act of healing. But before it was named a faux pas, it was simply an inquiry. Jesus asked the man who had been lying on the mat for 38 years, "Do you want to be made well?" The man doesn't answer the yes or no question with a yes or a no. Instead, he explains why it hasn't been possible. "I have no one to put me in the pool. When I'm making my way, someone gets ahead of me. Perhaps I'm going out on a limb, but I don't think any of us should assume that the man was certain he wanted to be made well. After 38 years, it would be extremely hard to imagine anything different, wouldn't it?" When healed, the man would inevitably experience a paradigm shift. I struggled for years against the notion that somehow, as a female, I was not adequate to speak, to lead, or to have influence in my faith community or in the larger world. Frankly, though, I was getting pretty comfortable at being angry at the world while keeping my voice and gifts in a very safe and quiet place. Did I really want to be made well? Do I want the world to be made well? Do I really want this society to be healed from the deep-seated systems of patriarchy? I haven't always been sure. And here is why I haven't always been sure. The story in John 5, in the next section, goes from miracle to confrontation. To be healed means to confront the antithesis of that healing. It's as if you already have violated some kind of code by entering a journey of healing. You heal and not everyone is happy for you. In fact, they want you to go back to the mat and whimper along with the rest. Jesus saw a need, and that need held priority over the cultural code. He called the man to a new paradigm. Jesus continually confronted the empire in the Gospel of John. According to scholar Warren Carter, conflict that pervades John's gospel centers on the interaction between the Rome-allied, temple-based, ruling Jerusalem elite, and God's commissioned agent, Jesus. And we know which one was maintaining a status quo. The status quo, which is oppressive to the majority of the people, those who lack the means to enjoy the benefits of the empire. Healing is a violation. The healing act of Jesus has personal worth for the man who is healed, as well as confrontational power to face the empire of that day. We as a seminary community value personal healing. We are meant to walk that walk together. But let us go beyond that personal healing to become violators of the status quo of today's empire. Because no story should stop with our personal stories. Our inner healing is connected, must be connected to a larger story. It's part of a web connected to the whole world. Just over 2 weeks ago, a factory building in Dhaka, Bangladesh, collapsed. The death toll has now risen to over 700, with hundreds more injured or missing. One article reports that the disaster is a grim reminder of the dangers faced by the impoverished Bangladeshi garment workers, many of whom produce clothing for American consumers. Hundreds die in fires and other disasters every year. Many of the factories they toil in are in disrepair, receiving weak oversight from government officials and poor enforcement of labor laws. Another article reported that the factory supplied cheap clothing to the Children's Place, Dress Barn, Walmart, Benetton, among other US and European clothing retailers. This is a broken situation. It's a broken, imbalanced relationship with the West. There is a need for healing that will most definitely violate our consumer cultural codes. Can we as a community and as future church leaders figure out how to violate those destructive codes that are built on greed and a gross hunger for stuff? We might wonder how there will be any time to have concerns beyond our ministries, but we need to. The reality is that violating the status quo is a way of life that needs to be integrated into our ministries. There is no either or here. Healing is a violation. We had the privilege of spending time with Bishop Thomas of the Coptic Orthodox Church while on our Egypt cross-cultural. This is the same Bishop Thomas who had the holy pen cap, gave the holy pen cap back to Bonnie. He told us a story about his grandmother, who was well known in the church and community for her charitable works and generosity. People came by her house daily to ask for food. When Bishop Thomas was 9 years old, he asked his grandmother why the people had to eat outside. Her reply was, "They have their place, we have ours." The young Thomas felt a conflict about this and decided to eat his lunch outside with a man named Guergi, who came by every single day. Though his family did not approve, he violated his family cultural code, the two became friends, and Guergi introduced the young Thomas to the fascinating world of books. Thomas continued to question his grandmother. "Is it because he's smelly? He's poor? Not worthy?" Thomas saw that Guergi's teaching surpassed that of other adults in his life, school teachers, Sunday school teachers, parents, his revered grandmother. So he continued to eat with him. From his story, we don't know anything about Guergi's religion, his family, his vocation, or if he had any of the above. What we do know is that Guergi influenced a 9-year-old boy to eventually serve and impact a multitude of people, Egyptians and internationals alike. Bishop Thomas's friendship with Guergi shaped him into the compassionate, innovative man he is today. He founded a retreat center that welcomes Egyptians from poorer areas to come and work so they can study and learn new skills. He invited us to pay attention to people, to look for Guergi as he continues to do, not to give him charity, but to share my house, to sit at the same table, to share my life. Through sharing someone's life, you will learn more than anything else. Healing is a violation. Who is the Guergi on our porch, in our communities? And let's consider the man on the mat, not just in individual terms regarding our own healing, but in community terms. Ask yourself, am I sitting on my mat as a way to stay safe? Are my lifestyle and attitudes preventing healing and fullness for someone next to me in LARC 106? For someone across the street? On the borders of the United States? Across the ocean? In the factories where people who can hardly feed their families make the clothes that I bought for my job interview? We need to continually hold these questions as a faith community, for they will only serve to open our eyes and make us better. The next time you change your clothing, take a look at the tags. Breathe a prayer for the world. Open yourself to the knowledge of your clothing's origins and what it stirs in you. We are connected to a hurting and struggling world. And don't let it simply stop at checking your tags. Be a violator of the damaging powers of the status quo and the stuff-hungry culture we live in. For the seniors who are here today and any faculty or staff who are continuing your journeys elsewhere, these pieces of fabric are symbols for you to take with you. After the sermon and during Nick's song, we invite you to take one of these mats. Take your mat and go. After all your assignments are done. Take your mat and go on a healing journey. Holding your personal healing in one hand, and the healing spirit of God for the world around you in the other. You may already know, or you will inevitably find out, that healing is a violation of the status quo. But healing is also an invitation to fullness. It's an invitation to find out and to know what you truly love. Whether you've been waiting for it for 38 years, 10 years, 6 semesters, or 2 days. Get up and go in the deep and loving power of a healing God. Recognize how far you've come. And then get up and be ready to meet the world. Whether they understand you or not, healing is a violation. And it will cause continuous ripples of change in your heart, in your neighborhood, and in the world. Amen.